Well, now you know the truth. After the lightning is struck, the thunder. Boom. What just happened? Now we know. When the voice of the seventh angel, when that seventh trumpet sounds, too late. That's the thunder, so to speak. Meaning the lightning has already struck. When you get to the seventh trumpet, if you're not in that resurrection, if you're not sealed, if you are not in Christ at that point, if you've strayed, if you've been playing the harlot, you know, just like Jesus says, when the bridegroom came, the virgins that were prepared went into the wedding, and the door was shut. That's the seventh trumpet. The door is shut. The bolt has struck. There's no more entering in. Too late. You know, and that's what it's signifying. It doesn't really tell you what the seven thunders are actually saying. But it's sort of what it signifies. It's like, hey, there's no more time. When this angel sounds, that's it. It's over. You know, you think about all the patience and long-suffering of God through all the ages, waiting and waiting for that moment. And then it finally comes. All the creation groans after it. All his servants have longed for it. I mean, people long for this because, I mean, you think about the way, I mean, people have been, you know, like, all the time I've grown up, we've been in the end times. At least that's what people tell me. I don't believe it anymore. I do believe it could be coming in my lifetime. I certainly prepare for that, right? We should prepare for that. Every generation should prepare for that. Every generation should familiarize themselves with the prophecies. We should teach young people the prophecies so they know them. And maybe we don't understand them fully, but if you know the words, if you are faithful in the things of God which he has told you, you can have. The other thing is, he didn't say to me, Paul, you know what, you can figure out all prophecy. You can figure out everything, like the timing of all these events. You're going to be able to figure that. You're going to know what the seven thunders uttered. God never promised me anything like that. What he said is, if you add to your faith virtue, you can gain knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance godliness. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. We seek first the things that are most important. The most needful things are in us. The things we need to know are not about things that are happening out in the world. Barack Obama, or President Bush, or President Clinton. I mean, I've seen them all. They were all the Antichrist, according to certain people. One to the other, they became Antichrist. Just whoever is currently president is the next big thing, right? Nonsense. Well, they are not the servants of the kingdom of God. They are not either the end times personified. You know, they're going to pass. And if one dictator rises up for a generation or several generations and then he passes away, what is that to God? He takes up the nations as a very small thing. There's a small dust of the earth. People get all worked up about it. It's nothing. But what is important is what's going on inside of you. What Christ wants to truly build is not an earthly kingdom, but an inward kingdom, the kingdom of the heart. That's what's important. So that's what we seek after. That's what we seek to be built up in. Because God says, hey, you know what? The grace of God has appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live righteously, soberly, and godly in this present world. I want to obtain that. After I obtain that, well then, understanding of prophecies, God can just grant that stuff in a moment. That kind of knowledge is no big deal. The knowledge, because you don't have to practice it. There's no practicing. People, when it comes to Christianity, they're always looking for special knowledge that they can just, something you could write down on a checklist, like the Ten Commandments. And then you can rest on that and say, well, I know this, I know A, B, C, D, and E, and therefore I'm in great shape. But rather, I'm talking about knowing things that are organically in you, so that you, like, I know how to resist temptation. Now, what, I can't put that down. It wasn't the type of thing someone came and said, hey, Paul, here's what you do. I read books that said things like this. You make a covenant with your eyes, and you make a promise, then you make, you write things down, and you make lists, and you follow this strategy. These are earthly means. But to have the knowledge implanted in your heart, So that when, you know, I go to a grocery store and I walk by the liquor aisle all the time, it's inevitable. Between the water and the freezer aisle and the milk and stuff, there's the liquor. It's on the way, right? You got to pass it every time. How come it was years ago I couldn't pass that without this strong pull? See, there's a knowledge that has entered into me to deliver me from that. I'm very thankful for that because it's easy when you know how. It's like roller skating or something. You know, before you knew how, it seemed like such a difficult thing. But then once you know, it's like, woo, 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 it's easy. That's the kind of knowledge we need to fill ourselves with. The knowledge that helps us stand against temptation now. And then we know we will be able to stand against temptation then. And Christ has given us this, so we have great confidence that we will be able to obtain this. Now, it can take time, but don't fear. Now, I know that, I've given this talk many times, but I mean, I had lived 10 years of my life, or more than that, really. But I lived many years of my life wanting more from God and not getting it. But I did continue. And so I can tell you that if you continue, you will receive. God is patient, but he doesn't wait forever. He wants us to be patient, but he won't make you wait forever. He might make you wait for some time. Because, you know, and sometimes he gives things immediately to people, and that's beautiful. But I learned from my experience that I didn't receive everything at once, and it was a good thing, too, because I might have become a real snob, thinking like, hey, everyone else should be like me. And that's the fact is that they're just not. Why does God do it this way? This is the way he ordained. Now, if he wanted to give us everything all at once, maybe he wouldn't have even bothered having us be born into this world. The questions just go on and on, but we have to live with what we have. I mean, do you believe in God or not? Then you must patiently wait for the things that he has promised. It's in his word. That's what we're supposed to do. But I say all that because we don't want to find ourselves on the seventh trumpet shocked. Because with the seventh trumpet, again, I don't know that are people going to hear it? Well, there'll be an earthquake. There'll be a great hail. There'll be all these shattering events. The resurrection of the dead. When they after 3 days and a half, they will rise from the dead and the whole world's going to be watching them rise. And it's going to send fear into the depths of their souls. You talk about men's hearts failing them for fear prior to this. It's nothing will compare with the terror that will come on them when Jesus Christ truly returns. And the one they worshipped as God is laid in chains.